Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Jordan.
And we've got a guest today.
Hi, I'm Tom. I'm the brewmaster with Stanley Park Brewing.
Perfect. Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. I guess I didn't manage to offend anyone last time, so welcome back.
I try harder.
Exactly. Oh, man. Well, why don't we jump right into the first beer, and then we will start chatting about what's going on with the brewery these days.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, I need a beer.
We're starting off with Trailhopper, right?
Yes, yes.
We are.
Trailhopper IPA, 6.8%.
This is the re-release of this beer, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, this beer's been around for, I guess, 3 or 4 years at this point.
Yeah.
Nice. Full-bodied, aromatic, and juicy, this delicious IPA gets its bold flavor from generous additions of Citra and Simcoe hops.
It's pretty darn clear, you know?
Looks like a West Coast.
Yeah, West Coast IPA for sure. Centrifuge, probably not filtered, but...
Yeah, and it's got a, you know, nice sort of yellowish-orange color. Yeah, nice big head.
Mm-hmm, yeah, nice rocky head
on mine too.
Yeah, it's not super clear. It's a little bit hazy, but not too bad. Definitely not a hazy IPA by any means whatsoever.
No. West Coast style for sure.
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of haze probably coming from all the hop oils, eh?
Yeah, and there's a touch of wheat in there as well. Mm-hmm. Just good
body. Aroma's nice though. It's not huge punchy in the face, but it's got lots of like that.
Citrus, it's like that citrus with the hop smell to it, though. Like, yeah, kind of like, you know how citrus gives that off,
almost like a little bit of spiciness to it.
Yeah,
I always find it to be like kind of very piney up front, and then the citrus kind of comes through on the back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get more citrus in the finish. It moves towards that.
Yeah,
you get that big malty caramel kind of thing up front as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you're at 6.8%, you've got a decent amount of malt in there, and then there's some crystal in there for a touch of extra sweetness as well.
That's almost a little bit of a throwback West Coast IPA, where it's got a little more of that like caramel, like sweetness. A lot of West Coasts have kind of gone like super dry, like you don't taste the malt at all practically if it's a West Coast style. So it's kind of a
nice throwback. IPA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. West Coast IPAs definitely drifted that way to where they were just kind of straight Pilsner malt. And now, I guess IPA seems to be the next step on that, where we're using lager yeast. But
so it's nice to see these old school West Coast IPAs making a resurgence, where they got some malt backbone and some character to them again.
Yeah. I feel like IPAs of this style will just keep like going out of vogue and coming back into vogue all the time. I think a lot of people are still drinking them for sure.
Yeah.
Not necessarily making noise.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the main style of beers I know me and Mike drink is IPAs, and I mix them up all the time. I've actually been coming back to the West Coast style a lot because, I don't know, like you said, Tom, I think like it's a circle. It just comes around every once in a while. Like, I was into milkshakes and then NE IPAs, and now it's kind of like West Coast is kind of the way I've been drinking the past little while.
I think ultimately, like, I do prefer drier beer. So, like, I enjoy the hazies and I enjoy the kind of the big sweet kind of haze bombs, but I find it tough to, like, drink more than one or two of them without it just kind of playing on my stomach. Whereas I feel like with this, like, you could happily sit down to four of them. You maybe shouldn't, but you could.
I've done it at a Canucks game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, this is normally my go-to at the Canucks game, to be honest with you.
That sounds expensive, man.
Well, of course it is. It's a Canucks game.
Yeah.
$12?
I can't even remember.
Probably more. I think I might have been drinking these at the Slipknot concert, actually, I think. So
was that right?
Yeah.
I can't remember. I was drinking think it was Stanley Park IPA. I can't remember. It was a long night.
It's one of the better options. It's one of the better options at the arena. I know, because you walk around and it's all like fucking what, Stella and Canadian and Bud, and then you see Stanley Park. They've got a couple. It's normally what I gravitate to.
Yeah.
Unless you're close to that other beer garden, but I don't know where the fuck that thing is. I think they have a bunch of craft on tap there too. So, but yeah, this is perfect just when you're watching sports. I guess it's a little deadly though at 6.8.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It'll catch up.
It's pretty, I find it to be pretty drink over 6.8. Like it's bitter enough, but I don't think it's like as aggressively bitter as some of those West Coast IPAs got back in the day.
Yeah, I know for sure.
No. Back in the day, it was all about who could get the most hops in there, who could make the most bitter, and this is reasonable, right?
Yeah. This is funnily like enough, 65 like, IBU,
yeah,
right?
It has no kettle hops whatsoever. Like it's all Whirlpool hop.
Oh, really?
So like it's when you get into those bigger systems, it's crazy how much utilization you get from the Whirlpool, and we basically don't kettle hop it anymore. We can get 65 just with Whirlpool. So
wow.
Yeah, I've never had that much bitterness from just Whirlpool, I don't think. Oof.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's a rabbit hole you can dive down at some point.
Like, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm at 5 gallons, so it's a little different.
Yeah, it's definitely like, there's saturation points for hops. So like,
right.
We found we could add a bittering hop in the kettle, but it wasn't really impacting bitterness in the Whirlpool, because if it was already saturated to 65 BU going into the Whirlpool, it wouldn't pick up anything additional. But if you sent it into the Whirlpool on the same amount of hops without the bittering hop in the kettle, it would still pick up 65 BUs.
And really interesting. So the stuff you were throwing in the boil was just a waste.
Yeah, like it really wasn't having an impact. And we find like the beer just naturally sits at 65 BU no matter what you add to the kettle. So
interesting.
Cool.
That works.
Science. That does work really well.
Yeah. Can I ask you about the can art? Is this new? Because I don't remember looking this cool.
No, this has always been the can art for Trail
Hopper. Has it?
Yeah, the only thing we've switched up is we used to have gloss cans and we switched them to matte, but the actual
artwork's it's really nice. It reminds me of like looks like an old school postcard or something almost, eh?
Yeah.
I believe the artist lives in Paris, if I remember correctly. Marketing will be mad at me for not remembering his name, but it's super cool. We've done, I think most of our labels have been done by him. It's super neat, like to have kind of like actual like pieces of work on the cans, like guys.
Totally. It's the more I look at it, the more little details you do see, because it's a full, I thought it was like a double image, but it's totally different the whole way around.
Yeah. And then you can see like the brew pub's hidden in the corner.
Yeah, it's on the right in the side. One side. I thought so. Yeah, that's fucking cool. Yeah, really cool. Oh, so what's going on at the brewery?
Yeah, and big brewery, small brewery. What's going on these days?
It's been busy. Like it was a busy start to the year. I think as you guys are, you know, talking about it, everyone's getting back out there, getting to shows and things like that. Yeah. So draft came back like crazy.
Yes, with all the restaurants.
Way more demand for draft than we'd seen even pre-pandemic. Like this has been probably one of the craziest starts to the year we've ever had. So that's been really good, and keeping up with that demand. And then we've been working on tons of new beers. We've got the yuzu sour and the tangerine tea out now. We also, I think I'm allowed to talk about it now, we have two non-alcoholic beers coming out as well. So we've done a non-alcoholic version of the Trail Hopper plus the sunset as well. Are quite cool.
Are those going to be like the 0.5 kind of thing, or 0.05 or something? Or?
0.5, yeah. They're not de-alkalized beer. They're low alcohol from fermentation.
Okay, yeah.
That's cool. It's
always interesting.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah, it was a fun project to work on. I played around with non-alcoholic beer maybe 3 years ago. A little bit, and we were doing some like cold war extraction stuff and trying to make that work, and just never really was super happy with the results. And then about a year ago we started playing with the maltose negative strains and started to dial in on a process we really liked, and a year later here we are with a couple of non-alcs, so we'll see how that goes. And
well, it seems to be a growing part of the market.
For sure. Like it feels like a couple of people were doing it, and now it feels like loads of people are doing it.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, well, the one of the first, I guess, was Red Racer with their street legal stuff a few years back, right? But since then, yeah, I've seen quite a few more people releasing something similar.
Yep.
No, so that's, very cool.
Well, it's good timing for summer and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for people that are trying to watch their alcohol intake, it's great because up until then, it was, I mean, I think there was the Budweiser one that came out more recently. And then there's like Duels and stuff, which
is undrinkable.
So gross. Yeah, it's just, it's like sweet, unfermented, like,
garbage.
So it's nice that people have some options.
Before that, when they were usually de-alkalized by boiling the alcohol off, and then those were just as gross, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's a tricky one. Like when you're trying to make beer with alcohol, like alcohol is a big part of where the kind of the
flavor probably comes from. I think the Red Racer or the Street Legal one, I think that is reverse osmosis, right?
They use a machine to pull it out. Yeah.
Yeah, they make a normal beer and then strip it.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, I don't. Those like ones that.
Those ones are pretty good. I quite like.
Yeah, them. Not bad. The IPA one's drinkable.
The IPA, that's the first one I ever tried on this podcast. Was they gave me a Street Legal IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And it just tastes like one of those like India Session ales from years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, it had great flavor, just, you know, none of the alcohol basically.
So. Yeah. So now you got me curious. I'm going to have to try one of these Stanley Park ones over the summer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, for sure. It'd be great too for like if you go to the park or barbecue with your family, you know, you got to drive home, you can grab a couple of those and not have to worry about anything. Grab the
one. It was great. I mean,
and a couple non-alcoholics.
Switch
mouth. Exactly. My wife was pregnant for most of last year, so working on the non-alcs at the brewery definitely made me.
She must have loved.
Made
that.
Me popular at home.
Yeah, I bet.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's awesome because that's another issue too. There's a lot of people out there that get pregnant and still like the flavor of beer, but got to avoid it, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's kind of like, I mean, that was when I started trying them a lot more because she wanted to try them. And I was like, give these a go. It's interesting. And yeah, it's surprising. There's some really good stuff out there. I think exciting to see where the market goes. Like it was kind of cool to see. I think it was Athletic Brewing made it into the top. I think they were 27 by volume in the US craft breweries.
Oh, wow. Making
non-alcoholic beer. So it shows you there's a market there for it.
There definitely is, yeah.
If you can get up there in volume, you know, for independently owned craft breweries in the States, only making non-alcoholic beer, like that's...
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's ideal. I guess it'd be ideal, too, because you can, if you really try, I guess you need it at the grocery stores, too, right? Because they sell non-alcohol. So you get a random old lady market just from the grocery store.
Yep. I actually saw Street Legal at Save on Foods just the other day. Cool. So yeah,
I've seen it in a few different grocery stores. I think Thrifties and stuff carries it too.
Yeah, and I think even like Village from Calgary, I've started to see in grocery stores here as well, which is
really
cool.
And then Partake as well, you see about. So yeah, I think
seen Partake. Yeah,
I'm not a fan of Partake. I do not partake in Partake. Sorry, Partake.
Yeah, it's such a hard thing to do well because it's so easy to go wrong with non-alc beers.
So anything exciting happening at the brewery location there in the park itself this summer? Any festivals or special events or anything like that planned?
I think there'll definitely be some stuff coming up. I think they're starting to kind of just put events calendars together. I think just with everything that's been going on, it's been so hard to kind of plan things in advance, but
definitely,
I mean, to be honest, like the crazy thing is the pub kind of is just busy on its own. You don't necessarily need to give people a reason to,
a sunny
day tends to do us pretty well.
I'm sure the location doesn't hurt either.
Yeah. Exactly. Even the West End. Yeah.
So, I think kind of just more of what we've been doing more.
Any exciting small batches coming up?
Yeah, there's always lots of cool stuff coming up. Actually, we've got, I was just tasting some of Benny and Rach's new creations today, actually. So we had a Czech style lager, which was tasting really good. They've been working on like a session IPA, kind of a hazy session IPA, I should say. We've been playing a little bit around with cold IPAs as well. And so we can come up with something there that we like. So that's been fun. And playing around with some of these, newer kind of thiol enhancing yeasts, things like that. Yeah. I don't know. We're always playing around with stuff. It's nice. It's only a 5 hectoliter brew size, and especially when summer comes, like we can sell through that in a week if we
get something. That's a good size.
That really gives us a lot of freedom to kind of play around and do lots of different things. So
yeah,
you can almost make it your test pilot batch.
Oh, definitely.
The yeah. System. Yeah. Like it's been great. Like it's nice to have a constant flow of kind of new ideas coming through. Like when you're a brewery that, you know, your original brew has 100 hectoliters, it's pretty hard to be consistently creative in that situation. So having the brew pub in the last few years, and then we also have our pilot system at the production facility as well. Like it just, we're always playing around with new ideas and kind of new ingredients and things like that. It's been a lot of fun.
I think we've talked about it before, but how big is the pilot system at the main brew house there?
It's actually pretty much a clone of the system that we have at the brew pub. So it's a 4-vessel, 5-hectoliter system as well.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, DME as well. It's a little less, the system we put into the brew pub, we added a bit more, not automation so much, but like a lot of the valves are air actuated just to a tight space. So it allowed us to kind of lean everything up by having everything air actuated and HMI controlled. But yeah, essentially the same brew house. So it's pretty handy to be able to kind of use both of those for different purposes back and forth. Like a lot of the non-alc development we did out of the big brewery, just because we really needed access to the lab for like alkalizer and things like that. You really don't want to mess around once you're getting into those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And also like draft non-alc is kind of a no-no, just with, there's obviously risk of infection depending on, you know, how clean the lines and the taps are. And
yeah,
you just don't want to get into any shaky situations there. So it's been pretty good to work on that kind of at the base brewery. And then we, brew pub's just been focused on kind of coming up with some fun ideas. So we had the yuzu and the tangerine tea just come out, and then we've got a couple more coming out hopefully in September time, I think. And then we did the sunset mix pack. We have a couple of other mix pack ideas that are kind of coming down the pipeline. So
speaking of those light last two beers you just named, why don't we talk about them a bit? Because I actually knew we were doing this podcast. Obviously, I booked it, so I hope I remember. But I went out and grabbed the Yuzu Sour, and last night I also tried the what is it? It's the Tangerine Tea Hazy
Tangerine
IPA?
Tea Hazy IPA, exactly.
Okay, I thought that I just didn't want to fuck it up and just wasn't hazy. But yeah, so I really did enjoy the Tangerine Tea one. It was first sip, like I was like, what the fuck, kind of, and like, what's going on? And then I had my second sip, and I was like, okay, this shit actually works, and it's really tasty. It just, like, I think it was a shock to my palate, having, like, the orange, the tea, a little bit of hoppiness and everything. But after, like I said, my second sip, I was all game in. I ended up drinking 3, so yeah, I found it quite good. And I actually just tried to use it today, and I liked it. For me, for sours, I like a bit more like punch, but the yuzu is a nice flavor. So it worked well. I actually slammed it in the shower. So it was
good. Nice.
Yeah, it's funny. Like,
it's one of those perfect ones. I think it was about 4.5%, which is like right perfect for sour level. Like I like them a little less. But yeah, no, it was good. It was like hot shower, cold beer. That was nice.
Yeah, no, they're both
go and try those, everybody.
Yeah,
they're both fun beers. They it's been interesting because obviously I was primarily based at the brew pub up until like November of 20. I don't even know what year it is anymore.
2020 right now.
So like a lot of the the kind of development of new recipes, we've kind of we've tasked that more with Rachel and Benny at the brew pub. So the Saplin series releases this year are very much kind of their kind of children, and it was fun to watch those beers develop over time, because in both instances they weren't recipes that they kind of, you know, version one, they were super happy with it. There was kind of iterations, and they played around with a few different citrus fruits for the tangerine tea. But I think it was Rachel who was really hell-bent on getting bergamot into some kind of beer and trying to find a way to make it work. And I think it's really nice. It's really well balanced. Like I think the tangerine comes through really nicely. And I think Tangerine can really be a funny fruit to work with. I don't know that it always translates super well, but I feel like the tangerine does come through really well on the...
It definitely does, and it blends with the tea. I don't know, like, it kind of, the tea is like orange pekoe to me too. So yep. Like that work, they work together kind of thing. Yeah, and then you still get the, like, the IPA flavor as well. Like, you're getting some hops and bitterness, and it works. Like I said, first sip, palate was like, what the fuck? Second sip was like, cool, all right.
Yeah.
I like it.
How much tea do you use for a beer like that? Is it quite a bit?
Well, and that's the thing. So we're actually, it's bergamot oil that we use in it. Okay. So bergamot is like a component of Earl Grey tea. And the funny thing is, it's like a lot less than you think was the lesson we learned after several trials.
Not really, because I've heard like when you're using vanilla in beer, you got to be really careful. Like many different flavors can just overtake everything.
Yeah, lime is like that too. You got to be careful with lime.
It's interesting. Like when you do the bench top trials and you kind of, you know, dose some in and then taste it, you're like, oh, that doesn't taste too bad. But you actually have to like leave it for 24 hours and come back to it, because a lot of the time those flavors really intensify once they sit in the liquid. So,
Well, interesting. I'll have to be careful if I ever make a tea beer.
Yeah, that, when hell freezes over, right?
Oh, no, I can see doing it. Why not? Yeah, right?
I've had a couple of different IPAs that were made with tea. There was, I think Tariq used to make one at Yale Town that used Darjeeling tea that was absolutely lovely. It had such a nice green, earthy kind of tone to it. Oh, it was lovely.
Yeah. The Steel and Oak, I live right next to. They have one, I think it's Tires and Trains, and it's an Earl Grey IPA. It's
Yeah,
we've had that.
Hmm? Yeah.
So, and I guess, Moody Ales has that matcha tea one, too.
That's right. Yeah. Steve's recipe, yeah.
Fomer's Folly does the Lavender Earl Grey ESB as well.
That's
right.
So, it's nice. Quite a few tea ones around.
Yeah, now that we talk about it, it's like, oh, yeah.
And there's a brand new place that just started up in Port Moody, I think. And they're doing, a tea infused like sodas or whatever, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
That's interesting. It's like a no sugar added. So it's like those, you know, sparkling waters or seltzers or whatever, zero calories, but it's made with teas.
Hmm. Nice. So does it have, are they caffeinated then from the tea? Or?
Yeah, I think so. Some of them. I think some of them are herbal and I think some have caffeine.
Nice.
But yeah, kind of seems to be the way things are going.
Well, gentlemen, I don't know how everyone's beer's going, but I finished my almost can there. Already.
I'm almost there.
I'm just looking at our next beer, and I'm really excited to talk about this one because it is a series. I don't let Tom tell you what it is, but...
And it's got some fancy packaging.
Yeah, and we have spoke about this before, but a little different.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the same but different.
Yeah. Can you guess what it is?
Well, it's funny because you can tell what's going on almost right away when you see the packaging. It comes in this lovely black velour or velvet bag
with
the Stanley Park logo embossed in gold with a gold braided like rope pull tie thing at the top.
Yeah, with golden tassels on the little
rope. It's nice like, presentation.
Reminds me of Aladdin's magic carpet.
It's like the kind of pouch you pour like gold coins out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like, I think we mentioned this last time. So we had the first version of this beer. So I'm going to just spill it. We have the Secret Cellar Whiskey Barrel Aged Stout, which is the 2022 release of the Barrel Aged in the Park series.
Yeah.
It comes in the dope velvet bag. And if you have kids, the kids will steal it instantly. If not, you can put your gold doubloons in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very excited to try this. And I believe it's being released on Earth Day, which will be past this time when you hear this. But
perfect.
I you think that's right, it. Isn't it, Tom?
Yep. That's correct. Yeah. So it's, second year for us doing the Secret Cellar. And, the base beer going in is essentially the same recipe, but the barrels were a bit different this year. So we actually got the barrels from Goodridge and Williams this time. So local barrels, which was super cool because it meant we could get them super fresh. So
nice.
They were literally emptied one day, brought down to the brewery and filled with beer in the same day, which is kind of really what you want to do when you're making these beers. Like, you can buy barrels from barrel brokers, but anyone who's done it in the past, it's a pretty mixed bag as to what you get. Sometimes they arrive and they're gorgeous. They're still wet. You'll fill them up. They won't leak. Other times,
right?
Spent some time traveling around the world, and they piss all over your brewery for 2 days. So
this one's clocking in at 11.6%, and it says 38 IBUs.
Now, is this still your only barrel aged beer then, or have you guys started anything else?
No, we like so. So we did a few around the same time as the Secret Cellar. Only Secret Cellar made it into cans. So we also did a barley wine that we did with Skagit Valley Malt. So we did like a blend of four different malts from Skagit Valley.
We
brewed it to about 10%. And then we threw that into a barrel for a year. And that one we just released on keg. It was delicious. It's really nice.
Oh God.
We also did, as a Scotsman, I have to do my wee heavy recipe anytime anyone wants. So we threw a wee heavy into a barrel as well, and then after I left, it got released and was named Wee Riley, which was
nice.
not my decision, but
that's hilarious. I like it.
But yeah, we have space. Like at the brew pub, we basically have this kind of small area we put aside for barrels, and we can house about 8 barrels there. So we have a couple of other things going on back there. Benny did a couple of beers in wine barrels around Christmas time, which we bottle conditioned and released, which I think we still have some available. One was barrel aged triple, red wine barrel aged triple, and then we also had a champagne beer as well, which was really nice. So like I'm pretty sure we still have some available, so if you can get your hands on some, they're definitely worth trying. They're really delicious.
Would they be at liquor stores or at the brew pub?
I think we only had them at the brew pub, and then they're on our brew store as well.
Well, I will have to be in the park on Saturday, so I might have to swing.
Really?
Oh, I think you should.
Yeah.
Let me know when you're there. I'll
transfer you. Let us know what they have.
So the difference from this year is from last year is you guys kind of switched the barrels from bourbon, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, right? Mm-hmm. And now we're into whiskey.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the wheat whiskey, one of Goodridge and Williams' signature whiskeys. So,
Where are they located? I actually don't. I'm not familiar with their name.
They're actually right next door to Four Winds.
Oh no way!
Place. Yeah.
Yeah. So like they're probably better known for their Tempo gin and the neutral vodka.
Oh, neutral. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But they also have like, I've been to their barrel warehouse, and they have a butt ton of whiskeys. Whiskey's aging, and actually like the fun thing has been is we're starting to do a bit of a kind of back and forth brewer distiller relationship. So I actually got to gift them back the barrels from the Secret Cellar last year, and also the barrels from the Wee Heavy, and they threw whiskey back into them and then aged them, like finished whiskey in there for about 6 to 9 months, I think. And they're actually both those whiskeys got released, I think, 6 months ago, and they were available at the BC liquor store.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was fun. Like
my favorite whiskey right now has been aged in stout barrels, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the Imperial Stout barrel aged whiskey was really cool.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a fun relationship. I'm slowly trying to convince them that we should make a peated wash at the brew pub and then still up at their place, because like I mean I love peat scotch. It's always been my favorite thing, but they ferment on grain. They don't have a lager tun, so it's like, well, I have a lager tun, and traditionally Scottish whiskey would be lagered. So I think that'd be a super neat ferment out at the brew pub, and we'll truck it over there and distill it.
Well, that sounds lovely. We'll make sure we know if you do that.
For sure. I keep hoping, if I keep saying it out loud, at some point they'll call me and say, I think we have to do this.
Yeah. So I'm smelling this, and I'm getting all kinds of things off the aroma. At first, I was getting like the dried fruit and brown sugar. Now I'm getting more of the licorice.
Lots of licorice.
Picking up licorice.
It's really nice. There's a lot of things going on in there, but they're all working together.
There might even been a hint of vanilla on my nose.
Yeah, and fruitiness, almost like a cherry in there, sort of.
Yeah, it's nuts. Well, I'm going to drink
it. Oh, it smells so nice.
Oh, God. That's nice.
Ooh, yeah, it's got that oakiness up front for me. Yeah, and then
it's a bit woody.
Definitely woody. Oh, it's got a nice big dark fruit hit.
I'm really getting licorice. I'm getting the whiskey as well, like right away on my tongue.
And I'm getting the chocolate.
Everything else.
And that you guys burnt caramel. Oh my God. Yeah. Definitely vanilla, like a burnt marshmallow. I'm getting in there. Oh my God.
But definitely it's got that whiskey in there for sure.
Yeah, you get that spiciness.
Yeah, I tried to design the base beer as much as it's possible, but to have to be a real platform for the barrel to kind of sit on. I wanted it to be about the barrel. Like I find a lot of the times people will make like a really nice imperial stout that tastes great on its own, and then they put it in a barrel, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
This beer was like designed with the barrel in mind.
This is brilliant. All the flavors here are working together. It's really amazing.
Yeah, like the molasses and licorice are blending well. You get the little vanilla and like chocolate, but there's some sweetness there,
but it's not too sweet.
The whiskey helps blend everything together too. I like
that little spicy burn in there.
Really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've been drinking a lot of whiskey lately. Whiskey and rye.
You gotta get it to smells sleep so somehow good, when you though. Have a baby.
I can't stop sniffing this. Sound like a cokehead.
Yeah, this is well done. This is really nice. I like this a lot.
And you notice proper glassware, everybody.
I know you've been nailing it there. I like it.
Yeah, me too. Whoops.
Yeah,
I forgot to grab that one.
This is a good follow up to last year's for sure. I like that it's you went away from bourbon and are using a different like alcohol. You could have just got a different bourbon barrel and tried and be like, oh, this is the variation. But I like that you steered towards whiskey.
I was chatting with Benny the other day, and it sounds like we've already procured our barrels for next year's version. And I'm not gonna let the cat out of the bag, but I think
off air.
I'm looking forward to it. If it's anywhere near as good as this, it'll be amazing.
I mean, I love bourbon barrel aged beers, but I like the fact that it's a local barrel, and you can make a bourbon locally. I just can't call it a bourbon, but I really like it's local, local collaboration, local spirits. It's awesome.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's kind of what, I mean, I've done barrel aging quite a bit over the last, 5 or 6 years, and it all comes down to barrel quality, right? And like the only way you can really guarantee barrel quality is if you know the person who's going to empty it, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm texting, you can be texting back and forth with the guys, and it's like, okay, we're going to be emptying today. It's like, okay, we're going to make sure the beer's ready to go, and we're going to get it down here and get it filled again. So
perfect.
I mean, like, that's one of the things I'm so frustrated with is I love rum, and rum barrels are so often nightmares, I hear.
Oh, they are.
Well, if they're coming from the Bahamas or something like that, then yeah, who knows how they've been treated, in between during the
travel, and a lot of the time, a lot of rum barrels are second use bourbon barrels, and because bourbon barrels can only work once, they're not really designed to hold up all that well,
right?
And to your point, they get shipped across the ocean and then shipped back again. It does them no favors.
And then they sit dry half the time, and
yeah. So what's your telling us? Yeah, so what you're telling us is like stuff like Jack Daniels and Jim Beam and stuff. Those barrels are cheap barrels that are designed to be used once. And as a brewer, they're probably not your best option.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
Yeah, I mean, I think to an extent, I think you just have to be smart with them.
Jim Beam's okay.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful leaving beer in them too long. Like the oxygen pickup on those barrels, I find to be a lot faster.
Right. So if you're looking for a good barrel, you're better off getting. If you're looking for a used barrel, you're better off probably getting a wine barrel then, or a barrel from a smaller craft spirit guy, you know, guys who are reusing them, or
yeah,
you know, they can give you an idea of how long it might last you if you buy it from them.
Yeah.
I mean, it really all depends on what you're trying to achieve, but I think it's like, I think bourbon barrels have their place. I just find like you do have to be careful with them. It's easy to overage a beer in bourbon barrels.
Oh god, yeah.
I've had a lot of bourbon barrel aged beers where you're like, yep, that should have been pulled out 6 months
ago,
or blended back somehow. That's
yeah.
A lot
yeah.
Of time.
Yeah.
What I've done is you need to kind of blend it back at the end and just kind of rein it back in a bit. Sometimes I find it can, really go overboard. So,
but I love the idea you have with the local distiller. You guys swapping barrels back and forth is the way to go.
Yeah. It's super cool. Like, it's been fun. We did a couple of sour type things at the Brewpub too, and they wanted to experiment with aging whiskey and sour beer barrels.
Really?
So like it's gonna be interesting. I'm excited to see kind of what other things they do. Like, we basically, any barrel we empty, we just send it back to them because it's easier for them to put whiskey in it for 6 months or whatever it is and re-sanitize it that way than to buy some kind of fancy steaming setup. So
yes, can you please sanitize your old barrels, please?
Yes, and then provide me with a couple of bottles of the whatever you make from it, because I just want to make sure that the quality's there, right?
Yeah,
right?
Total. Quality control is very important.
I love
it. The best part of the job, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds like a good symbiotic relationship to me.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's neat. Like, I mean, I never really spent time in like a warehouse with, you know, so many barrels of whiskey. And it's neat. Like, once you get talking to a distiller, I mean, kind of like a brewer, they'll talk your ear off
for
quite a while. But it's interesting, right? Like, the way the sun sets and the way the air flows and the different things that happen to different barrels at different times. Like, it's super interesting.
So, Tom, how many of these did you make for the Secret Cellar? Did you up it this year as it did so well last year? Because I remember last year, I think they were all labeled numbers on them. And we read them out. Like, this, I noticed on this year's, there's a nice little note, for tasting notes and cheers from the brewers and stuff. But there's no actual number out of how many you did. So I was just wondering if you had such success last year that you just upped the program a bit.
No, like, I think actually we got slightly less this year.
Oh, wow.
I actually don't know why we didn't number it again.
Probably because somebody got tired of writing them.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, that was what I think. It was all handwritten, wasn't it? Yeah.
Hey, Jordan, we got 5,000 cans. Get to it, buddy. Here's your marker.
Dude, I have to sign like 50 to 100 Christmas cards at work every year.
Yeah, you're done.
I despise that. I could not imagine doing 1,000, like, let alone 5,000.
I don't screw up the number.
Yeah. I'd be like, hey, I'm just going to go to the roof and jump. Bye.
I can't blame them for not numbering them again.
No.
Fair. I just had to ask because I remember we were all like, oh, mine's number 22. And I was like, I got number whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
It was funny. I had the lowest. I had 666 in my cupboard up until very recently when I when I bailed on saving it and drank it. So
that's awesome. The number of the beers.
Yeah, the number of the beers. Oh, nice. Man. That's actually my buzzer number for one of my buildings at work for people to call me.
Nice. They get a hold of the Beelzebub right away when they first
that's what my boss thought of me. He picked it.
He knows you.
Like your boss.
He's gone now.
That's too funny. That's a great can number to have, though. I love it.
Yeah,
it's fun. And yeah, I think, like, I mean, whether we'd ever expand it, I don't know. I mean, like, for Secret Cellar, it's really about the fact it's, you know, barrel aged in the park. So I mean, I can tell you right now, the limit of that is like there's space for 8 barrels there.
Yeah. Right. That's
I guess it could grow. It could grow slightly and then have less variety. But
no, we're just you don't want that either.
Playing around with different things. The nice thing with the brew house size, like, you do one batch, it fills 2 barrels. So we got space for kind of 4 different things to be going on out there at any time.
Why don't you just have another one, like, known cellar, and that's the one that's out at the other brewery?
Yeah, exactly.
Not secret. It's, we know about this one.
the less secret cellar.
The not so secret
cellar.
Yeah.
I like it.
Cross the Alex Fraser Bridge and look right or left, depending on which way you're going.
So if someone's listening to this, like, say Tariq wants to go pick up a can of this somewhere, Is the only place we can buy this at the brew pub, or can we hit the local stores downtown there, like Legacy and all that?
No, again, I think it's we're just keeping it exclusive to the brew pub. So you can either head down to the brew pub, or it will be on our online store as well.
Yeah, and you can order online. Got a wicked online store. Like everything's on there, like merch, but like every beer too. So if you're not close to the brew pub, you can get their shit and like Trailhopper. So you can get everything. Yeah. Yeah, okay, I was scoping it today.
Excellent. Yeah, because you know what? If you're into these high-strength beers, and if you're into barrel-conditioned beers, go get this one.
So when did you say this is coming out again?
I think we're...
Tomorrow.
I think...
Oh, tomorrow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so... But when you hear this podcast, this beer will be out.
Mm-hmm. It'll definitely be out by the time you hear it. I think we're doing, like, we did an exclusive pre-order for people who bought it last year.
Wow.
And then they were getting first access, and then it was opening up to everyone else after, something like that.
Nice. Yeah.
Cool. So it should be available by the beginning of May at least.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, like next couple of weeks it'll be.
Yeah.
Well and truly.
I thought it was an Earth Day release, which is tomorrow. Technically tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it'll be around for a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And well, unless they just people love it and buy it up real quick.
Oh, yeah.
You might be fucked by the time you listen to this podcast.
So could happen.
On the website, order.
Yeah, I was going to say it could happen, but if you have to go down to the park, but hey, you're right. People could be standing by on their laptops.
Yep. Never know. It was
on their phones.
I really enjoyed last year. So, I mean, thank you, Nisha, for setting this up. As always, she reached out to me again and said,
yeah, thanks for keeping us in mind.
We have two beers that we'd like to talk to you guys about. And I didn't even know it. We just mentioned the Trailhopper series, or pardon me, the IPA. Yeah. And then it was like, we might have something else in cellar. And I was like, oh, it's a secret.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think of this one, Mike?
Thank you, Nisha.
I do really like it. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah.
It's not quite sweet enough for you, or is it working?
No, it really works. I mean, I do like a little bit sweeter Imperial Stout, but it doesn't mean I don't really like this one. You know, it's all personal preference. The beer is,
of course,
well executed.
I do like sweeter ones, like you say, but like the whiskey in this one, I'm just eating it up. I love how it blends the molasses and stuff, but it's still, I get that whiskey. And I think that's, like you said, that you put it in that day after they dumped their barrels, so they were so fresh, it pulled all that flavor into it. And I'm like, if you guys know me, I love my bourbon, I love my whiskey, I love scotch, fuck gin, that's Mike.
It's wonderful.
I just threw a song in there, and Cam, you better catch that.
I mean, hey, I brought gin back from Hawaii.
Yeah, you'll make us drink it too, I know. Probably, but no, man, yeah. it really works with all these flavors too. Like, I like
what works for me,
sugar, licorice, with that whiskey note. It's
what works for me is this beer has actually been fermented out. It's there's none of that crazy residual sweetness that shouldn't be there, right?
Yep,
I like it.
I like it. Like it a lot.
Oh yeah, I like my beer finished.
Well, I like it the whole way through the glass, but yeah.
No, I mean finished fermenting. Come on.
Oh, I know. I'm just a brat.
So, Tom, is there anything else that you might want to think to mention? I was going to ask you. Live music is back at Stanley Park Brewing, right?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking they might even have a bigger.
I love that dude, Brock Phillips. He plays there, I think.
Brock, we first had Brock at the pub just before the pandemic began. And he was building some real traction and people were coming down. And he normally plays in the sunroom area of the brew pub, if you've been down there with the big arch ceiling. And he was building a following, and there were people like booking tables because they wanted to see Brock. And then when the pandemic hit, we were like, oh man, like for musicians, obviously that that was a real blow. They weren't able to get out and play shows, which for a lot of musicians is their livelihood, right? Mm-hmm. So we transitioned to doing the Instagram live shows with Brock. So
and they were amazing. I watched a bunch of them out back. Had a beer and burned a little doobie. Out there and watched Brock play. And it was funny because he would be like, oh, my session's over, but invite more people and I'll keep playing after his hour thing.
Oh, really?
And start another live. So I'd invite a couple of my buddies that like live music and shit, and they would join. And then it was funny because I'd be busy with my kids and I'm getting sent things from all my buddies I invited now that are like watching him live. So I think it was really cool that you guys did that.
For sure.
I'll have to look him up.
He's really good. He's
really good covers and shit. And his original music is pretty awesome too.
Yeah. And he's a super nice guy. He's really passionate about music. And I think from what I can tell, he's gone to strength to strength too. He's back playing with us at the pub now, but he seems to be playing with quite a few other breweries. I think he's got an open mic night that he's doing at the Plant Parlor in Langley and things like that. So it seems like,
That's close to me.
Nice.
Going from strength to strength. That's awesome.
Do you have any other live acts or is it just him?
We periodically pepper other people in. Brock tends to be a staple of our kind of our lineup. And then
crowd pleaser.
And sometimes he brings along friends too. And he can play solo or he'll bring along a couple of friends. And
so it could be a jam session or something.
For sure. And a sign of their talent. They just kind of go off on it and do something neat, which is
perfect.
That's awesome.
I don't know that we ever, fully envisaged the brew pub as a live music venue, but it's, I don't know. I've always liked it. As long as it's at the right volume and you can still enjoy your
that's
live
the issue,
music
yeah.
at the right volume is key. Yes, if you're playing loud and you don't want to listen, you're just trying to have a conversation.
Yeah.
It's awful. But if it's just perfect, but it's and Brock is really good. Like I said, I watched all the lives. I've never seen him live in person, but live on Instagram was a thing I did almost every week. I'd get the kids to bed. He'd do it 8 or 9 at night, where I'd go out just sunny on the patio, have a beer, and just listen to him put the phone down, fucking watch him. It was pretty rad. Yeah. And he'd take requests once in a while. It was dope.
I mean, if you want a straight up concert where you can't speak, you go to the Commodore, you go to, the Vogue, whatever. If you want live music, but also be able to sit around and chat, that's where you go to a brewery or a pub or something. You still want to be able to interact.
Yeah,
live acts at a pub are always better than canned music.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
As long as the volume's low enough that I can still talk to the person across the table from me, because usually when I'm going to a brew pub, I'm going to meet up with somebody and, we're having a conversation, we're getting caught up or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's my problem with Brewers Row now. I love Brewers Row, don't get me wrong, but you go in and you walk in and the music is so fucking loud. Everybody's yelling. Get in there and and then you sit at your table and you find yourself yelling because everybody else is yelling and the music's so loud.
Right.
I'm coming in to talk.
There's
to
nothing
people,
fun about
have
that.
A beer and not listen to your fucking playlist. I'm sorry, but I've been avoiding it lately. I went with I got a baby now, so I can bitch. She got woken up and it made it shit hell. But it was just bad all around. Okay, we'll leave this one. Went to the next one. I'm not saying names, it was exactly as loud in there.
Really, eh?
And I'm just why is the music so loud? You're forcing people to yell. Yeah. I mean, music's cool, but if people are yelling, you might hear the music at a lower level.
Well, that's when you'll find me out on the deck.
Well, when it's been to Brewers Row all weekend, you get what you get, and that's what you get.
Yeah, true enough.
There's a lineup down the street.
It's a good problem
for them, but yeah.
As someone who just recently became a dad, I totally hear you on the when baby's sleeping, I don't need any loud noises. I just
right. Back to beer.
Do you have anything else coming up at the either brewery that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah. Well, as we're finishing up, if you don't have anything else you want to share with us, I don't know if you remember me asking the question last time, but out of the two beers we had tonight, which is your favorite? It goes to you, Tom.
That's tough. Yeah, I don't know. They're so different, right? I mean, yeah. Trail Hop is a beer we've been. Trail Hop is a beer we've been brewing for 4 years, and it's been Trail Hopper's been a journey too, because it went from being, you know, a beer that we brewed a small amount of to a beer that we brew a lot of now, and learning to brew it on scale has been a journey. So definitely have an attachment to it, but the secret cellar is really cool, right? Like, I think beer with a sense of place is always super neat. Like, I think, you know, when beer has a story and something that ties it very much to a place, I think it makes it something pretty special. So the thought that this beer, you know, was aged in the fresh air of the park, and, you know, all the seasons that came and went, like, I think it's it's super neat. And as a brewer, I don't think, you know, there's not many brewers that can say they've aged a beer in Stanley Park. So
yeah,
I think there's three total. So
I was going to say it's you, Benny, and Rachel. What's her name?
Yeah,
Rachel.
Yeah. Rachel.
Thank you. Sorry, Rachel.
Well, I mean, you know, and that beer saw, you know, the outside temperatures were below zero, and then it also saw temperatures outside that were plus 40. So it saw some things.
Sure.
Yep, exactly. And it's funny, like, I remember when we first talked about doing it, like, I'm always the pessimist. I'm like, we'll see how this goes. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's gonna taste good after a year. And, you know, lo and behold, we pull it out and we're like, it's actually, this is work. This is in a good place. So.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, right? No doubt.
I'm glad you did, because I like I said, the bourbon one was good, but I'm fucking digging this whiskey one.
So when do you brew the next batch of this one? Has it already happened, or is it upcoming?
Yeah, I think it's on the schedule in the next couple of weeks. We figured out what barrels we want to do. So then we'll get the brew day lined up with when Goodridge are emptying those barrels, and, yeah,
are you using the same company again, or are you mixing it up?
Can you? We're going to work with Good. We're going to work with Goodridge again. Like, it's a nice back and forth relationship, and
those are good in the industry.
Exactly, for sure.
Yep. Cool, man. Well, who should I pick next, Warren?
This is simple. Come on.
I know. I think it's going to be a four-way tie.
Yeah, you know what? I love West Coast style IPAs, and the Trail Hoppers is, and it nails it. It's right in there, and it's delicious. But come on, the Secret Cellar is ridiculous. It's so good. It's so silly, right? Like, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. So, Mike,
tell me Secret Cellar,
why?
Yeah, because that's what he drinks all the time.
Oh, dude, this is his favorite style. Like, come on.
Let's talk about the runner-up today, the Trail Hopper IPA.
That's my job.
I enjoy this beer. It's a nice kind of throwback to the West Coast IPAs when there was still a bit of malt flavor in there with the bitterness and everything. I do really like that.
But yeah, it's delicious. There's
no competition here. It's not a fair competition.
No.
Because I am very partial to Imperial Stouts, barrel aged Imperial Stouts. So yeah.
Yep, he is.
Yeah. I mean, I have a 9% smoked beer. I have an Imperial Stout, just it's not quite carbonated yet, and I have another Imperial Stout in a carboy. So
with macadamia nuts, maybe.
Not yet.
But it's got a tincture going for that.
Cocoa powder, it's got lactose, and it's going to have macadamia nut tincture in it. Yeah.
So dark, high alcohol beers are Mike's.
Yeah, go send him to Hawaii once. He tries a beer and he's like, I'm replicating this.
Oh, it won't be the same as that beer. That beer was 16% thick as hell.
Awesomeness. It sounded great.
Wow.
Well, if anybody's curious about my choice.
Not really.
I'm going with the Secret Cellar as well. But saying that, like, this is awesome. Like, I've talked it up so much on the podcast already, saying how much I dig this. But the Trail Hopper, I guarantee tomorrow when I go to out for wings at whatever that place is called, they have wings? No, it's the warehouse on Hastings. They do the best chicken wings, and they have Trail Hopper IPAs. They're only IPA on tap, and every time I go there, I get it. So I'll be crushing one of those tomorrow, and it's delicious. So I guess we're wrapping it up. Is there anything else, Tom, that you'd like to
No, I mean, yeah, it was great talking to you guys again. And yeah, hopefully you can, I'll show you quickly. I got some of the, that's the non-elk trail helper that'll be.
Okay.
Okay. Similar label. Yeah. It's a similar label. It's just a little condensed.
Yeah. They had the condensed to put
on the 12 ounce can.
Well, and also it has just the nutrition facts and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, of course. So it's got all the carbs and everything.
Yeah. Can you give away some of the secrets of the, nutrition facts there?
How many carbs?
So it's, it's 50 calories, and then your carb calories. Is 4 grams. So
that's not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
What about sugars? Yeah. What's the sugars?
It's been a long time since I've looked at it. 4 grams.
4 grams of sugars. I can drink like 5 of those in a day, and I'm still within my daily sugars, man. That's great.
Yeah,
I think daily sugars a thing?
If you're a diabetic or if you're trying to prevent heart disease, yeah, absolutely, bro.
So, Warren, how many sips of the secret cellar can you have?
Yeah, 20 grams per day, bro. 30 max.
Jesus. Sorry, Dr. Warren.
Yeah.
You want to live past
the more you know.
If you want to live past 45, bro.
Let's mute Warren right now.
Hey, I've been there, done that. I've had the heart attack and all that shit. So if you want to talk, I'll talk.
It runs in my family too. My dad just got 6 stints, and he's the healthiest motherfucker I know.
I only had 1 stint.
Yeah, my dad got 6, and he never had a heart attack. So back to beer. Sorry for being bummer.
One thing I do like to ask people, and I forget to do it often, other than Stanley Park Beer, is there a brewery that you really enjoy in town, or you know, good or question. Style that you like to drink? I should be asking this way more often. I always forget.
Yeah, dude, that's a great question.
I'm a sucker for Steel and Oak. They're my local brewery. Like, I literally I can be there in 5 minutes. So like, I don't know if it's local bias or not, but like, they're shiny things.
They make some nice beer though.
I was one of their founders or whatever they called it again. I love Steel and Oak. I am sort of like halfway between Steel and Oak and Studio ABC. Brewing. So
ABC is a shout out to it in that area. Absolutely. Like, you actually have two of like, those are two of my favorite breweries, like top 20 for sure. Yeah. I mean, there's so many to choose from nowadays, but like New West, you got two breweries and they're both fucking like some of the best breweries.
Yeah, the beer quality from
you tried Throw Blanket?
Really good.
Did you try Throw Blanket from Steel and Oak? I think it was a West Coast IPA. It may be wrong, but it was
fucking I had that one.
Fantastic.
I'm trying
it's
to
not around, and probably not around anymore. But
I was going to say, river. I feel like I normally try everything they release because I'm so close to them. I don't.
Well, the label would have been a plaid blanket.
Like, oh yeah, Rattan.
Yeah. I did Throw Blanket. That was a good beer.
For sure.
Really good.
Yeah, no, they've always.
I'm jealous you live in the West because I have one brewery and all right.
Well, I live in Burnaby, so I have 3 good breweries.
Wow,
they're a long ways from each other.
The closest one to my house is Mariner, which is okay. but I'm my new place. The closest place will be Love Shack.
When you move,
local, huh?
No, not at all.
Dave makes good beer.
Dave's awesome too. He's so funny. Just like his Instagram videos when he releases a new beer, he's got like a song made up. And like, the guy's excellent. Fucking rad.
I'm looking forward to it. Qualicum Beach rules.
Yeah. All right. Well, where can people find Stanley Park Brewing online? Do you know the website and socials?
Jordan knows.
I'm not going to pretend I know. StanleyParkBrewing.com.
It's probably that. But your handles are on Instagram, anyways. Is Stanley Park Brew?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again, Tom. This has been great. Really loving the beers, and
thanks.
Look forward to seeing some new beers in the future.
Absolutely. If you're going to do another one of these secret cellars, make sure you tell us about it, because this is absolutely delicious.
Oh, and
we'll keep you in the loop on those going forward.
If you do the barley wine again, let us know and we'll come and do an episode in the park.
In person.
I'll talk to Manny. I, I feel like we might still have one keg hidden in the cold room, so I'll find out.
Oh. You should give Benny my phone number so Benny can text me.
Yeah. Hey, I've got growlers I haven't used in years.
Me too. I just cleaned our laundry room out and found, like, I want to say like 12. I was like, what am I going to do with these?
I have a cupboard that I never open. I'm like, oh shit, that's a lot of growlers.
These things.
Yeah. What are these things?
Remember those?
All right.
Glass barrels? What?
Hey, you know what? I've actually bottled homebrew in them before, and it works quite good.
I've used my Four Winds with the pot, like the flip top, whatever the hell, pop top. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't even need the flip tops though. You just get the better growler lids with the little vinyl, you know, insert. They got that little cone of plastic or whatever on the inside.
Yeah.
You get those nice lids. They're $2 or $3, I think. But you get those nice lids and you use those, no problem.
Okay. Well, if I'm ever hurting for packaging, yeah.
Right.
Although if
your entire repertoire is Imperial Stout, I don't know if 2 liter growlers is the way to go.
Yeah, you're kind of committed to that whole 1.89 liters once you open it.
I have had a 2 liter growler of Thor's Hammer before.
Ooh,
I did that. Sounds like a
painful morning.
Two nights, but yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tom, and we'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Yep. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, catch you later.
Good seeing you, brother. Okay. Cheers, man.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.